reading of God's precious word, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Reading from verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Again I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time, like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time, when it suddenly falls upon them. Please be seated. That's not fair is a common phrase. You may not utter it, but very often you feel it. Life is not fair. And I wonder if you've heard it said that if wishes were horses, beggars would ride them. Or another statement, you know, don't build castles in the air. We all desire opportunity. If only I was given a chance. Many say that. If only I had the chance. I was in Andhra Pradesh in Kashipet, Warangal. And my point man there, he kept saying, looking at others, he kept saying how he felt he did not get a chance. Everybody else gets a chance. In fact, he even said, why does God make it happen that way? I serve him so much and I'm left out. As you read these verses in Ecclesiastes, there are several things that stand out. One, which is the oft-repeated statement or truth or fact that Solomon mentions in his writings, is that we're all going to die. And even here, in verse 10, he talks about all of us are going to Sheol. And Sheol is not hell. Sheol is the place of the dead. We're going to die. That's what he's saying. In Sheol, there is no work, or thought, or knowledge, or wisdom. Sheol is to which you are going. I hope we all know that. Life is not unending. Some of us live as if it is. I mean, you didn't wake up this morning thinking, oh, this might be your last day. Did you? Consciously, we don't think of death. We don't think consciously on a moment-by-moment basis that this life is going to end. In fact, we live and plan to live as if we're going to live forever. And that's a very real mistake. Life is not going to go on forever. Parents live for whom? Many parents say, if you ask them, I'm living for my children. Hey, you might die before you can settle them. And some children you have who don't ever want to get settled. You're planning for the future. You're saving for a rainy day. You're living as if life will never end. Even in the issue of sin, many people think, well, let me experiment, let me try this, I mean, let me, maybe tomorrow I can repent. We don't live with a consciousness that life will end. Life will not go on forever. And especially during celebration time, whether it's you're planning for your wedding or it's Christmas or it's some birthday, celebration is a time especially. You, even if you're very, very spiritual and you think Jesus can come anytime, you hope he won't come before your event. So life is going to end. In the consciousness of that, Solomon is writing that you've got to live your life not king size like the cigarette ad. Have you seen it? Live life king size. You've got to live the abundant life. Do you know Jesus promised abundant life? Turn to John chapter 10. Only the Christian who really knows Christ has the capacity, potential, and the right to live life to the full. Which is that verse? It says, I have come that they might have life, and that more abundant. Anybody found it? Verse 10. 10:10. Very easy to memorize because it's 10:10. John 10:10. I have come that they might have life and that more abundantly. But Ecclesiastes focuses on opportunity in life. And really he's saying there is no opportunity in death. There's opportunity only in this life. And may I say right at the outset, the greatest opportunity in life is of knowing God and Jesus Christ and embracing His salvation. You can't pray for anybody after they die. I hope you know that. You can't get saved after you die. Physical death is the end. And you can't pray for near and dear ones who are not saved after they die. There is no purgatory and there is no hope after you die for anyone to get saved. So if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, get saved now. Get desperate to get saved now. That's an opportunity you don't want to miss. And if you have near and dear ones who are not saved, pursue them in love and prayer and with great compassion and carefulness that you don't mess up the way you live so that they think you're a hypocrite.
pursue them so that they are saved before they die. That's an opportunity that you must grab. But looking at verse 10, we look at what Solomon is saying, and he's saying, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Very simple, straightforward statement. If there's anything to do, how should you do it? With your might. What is he saying? He is saying, don't be careless. Don't be half-hearted in the opportunity that you have. What have you got? Take that and do it with all your might. With all your might, don't fritter away your time. Don't postpone. Don't let go of the opportunity. Put your whole heart in it. Don't be casual. Be serious. Why? Because there is no opportunity, there is no recovery in the grave. As simple as that. When are you going to die? I don't know. You don't know. You can't predict your death. In fact, even if you don't die, you can become a vegetable. I don't know if you've thought about it, but any day, any time can bring a surprise to you, right? You can suddenly get a phone call right now while we're at church, not expecting it, and hear bad news. We can finish church and go out and be the bad news. There are four areas that verse 10 points out. First area, work. There is no work. What is that? Something to do. Occupation. So if you have work to do, what should you do? Whatever that work, even if it's not employment for money, you have something to do in your life. You have talents. You have skills. You have potential. You have capacity. Use it in this life, because after you die, there will be no opportunity to exercise your talents or skills. You will be able to do nothing after you die. There is no work. Second, there is no thought. Did you realize that? When you die, you're not going to be sitting and thinking in the grave. You have to give it to this man, Solomon. You have to really praise God as you think of the wisdom God gave Solomon, because he's even thinking of thought life. You know what he's saying? When you die in the grave, there is no thinking left. So what should you do? Keep thinking now. While you have life, develop your thinking ability. The opposite of thinking is being thoughtless. Now that word thoughtless doesn't mean you have no thoughts. It simply means you are careless in your thinking. All of us think, only dead people don't think. But what are you thinking about? And do you understand that you will think according to the things that go into your mind? Through the television, magazines, newspapers, books, the internet, the World Wide Web, the SMSs, the apps, whatever else you have that you feed on. sow a thought and you reap a harvest, and it might be pretty bad harvest. And many of us have sleepless nights or get confused or get into stress and tension, and something is going on in our minds. And I hope you know that it's all a result of what you've sowed in your mind. You better sow right thoughts. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul says, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And if you sow godly thoughts and righteous thoughts and good literature and good poetry and good music, and what will be the result? If you read good stuff, if you ponder on the right things, you will have high thinking, which will be reflected in your life. There is no potential for thinking when you die. This is the opportunity for thinking. Number 3 in verse 10 is, there is no knowledge. There is no knowledge. Have you evaluated yourself? Not how many degrees you have. BA, BCom, MA, MCom, whatever else. But how much information do you have? Knowledge is what? Information. We are in an age of information technology. Unfortunately, computers have made us less informed. Because anytime you want information, what do? You use a search engine. You hardly go into your own mind and do a search for information. And even where the Bible is concerned, so many of us, we have software packages even on our smartphones. And we search for those verses only when we want to use those verses. We are not given to storing up knowledge, gaining knowledge. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of not only wisdom but of knowledge. How much knowledge do you have? Are you knowledgeable? In the good old days, we can complain about those good old days. General knowledge was a big subject, right? General knowledge. Do you know about Indian politics? Do you know about who your government is? Do you know how the police force works? Do you know the fundamental information about your nation? Do you know fundamental information about where Andhra Pradesh is or Uttar Pradesh is? You'll be surprised that when I was going to Warangal, several in DC say, where's that? Huh? We don't even know basic geography. Google search it. Why should I store knowledge? Solomon says, when you die, there is no opportunity to gain knowledge. Wisdom is the fourth area. Solomon says, only in this life you have opportunity for wisdom. You know what wisdom is? It's different from knowledge. Knowledge is information. Wisdom is applied knowledge. Information by itself, knowledge by itself is useless if you don't use it, if it's not practical. Wisdom says, not I know it, but I will find out about it. And I need this information so that I can live my life sensibly. Yes, you heard me right. Wisdom is being sensible.
And how many of us are sensible? In bishop school, my third and fourth and fifth standard teachers would say, "You boys, you just need to use your common sense." And so I learned the two words, common sense. And most of life is to be lived out by using what? Did you realize that? Common sense. Common means simple. What is available to all. And we don't even use common sense. Solomon says, look at it again in verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, because for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in sure where you all are going. In light of this fact, each one of us should make most of each and every opportunity while we have life, recognizing that God has given us this opportunity. As He has given us this life, God gave me brains to use. God gave me life, and with that life He gave me a chance to know, to think, to do, to perform, to achieve. And we come to Christ with all that knowledge and wisdom and potential. And like the Apostle Paul, we can say, whatever gain I had, Philippians chapter 3, that I count as loss for the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Most of us come to Jesus with no achievement. Really, what have you achieved in life? What have you done with the opportunity you had? Invest. Yes, invest in your own development. Don't let go of opportunity. Invest in your own development. Don't just be a nice Christian who is there in every Bible study. And that's the wrong definition of being a nice Christian. You're in every Bible study, you're in every prayer meeting, you fast and pray, you witness, and you tell everybody about Jesus, and then they turn around and ask you, what's your education? And you say, I fail. Do you have any money? No, I depend on somebody else. I'm really a parasite. You don't say that, but that's what you are. Can you talk about sports? No, I'm not interested. I'm very spiritual. Are you getting it? The Bible doesn't give us that kind of scope to think that's being a nice Christian. In fact, the Bible shows me and here's the text that says do it with all your might. Invest in your own development. Pursue knowledge and wisdom. Be achievers and come under a submission to Jesus Christ. And we will make an impact for Christ. I was talking to my friends in Warangal and I said, you think, like most Christians think, that Peter, James, John, Andrew were poor fishermen, right? As I read the Gospels, I find that they owned boats. And Jesus went into Peter's house. So apparently he owned his own house. And when Jesus told James and John, follow me, they left their father Zebedee with whom? Servants. They could afford servants. Simple fishermen.
I doubt it. Do you think Daniel was simple? Do you think Isaiah was simple? Do you think Moses was simple, uneducated, riffraff? Did God choose prophets of old and disciples to follow Jesus who were non-achievers, non-performers, non-ambitious people? I doubt it very much. But I tell you, everyone whom God chose, Jesus chose, came to a place of knowing that they were nothing in comparison to the value of knowing God. Invest in your own development and work hard towards your own potential. And surrender it to Jesus Christ. Make sure you maximize your opportunity in those four areas of God-given opportunity. Otherwise, you're really a bad testimony to Jesus Christ. Lay hold of opportunities in the here and now. And whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly. We move on to verse 11. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. Again I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. This verse is clearing up a huge misunderstanding among Christians. Consider all the areas where we think we may be lacking, where life is unfair. Why we got left behind. And there are at least five areas in verse 11. We saw four areas in verse 10, now five areas in verse 11. Five areas of achievement or struggles in life that each of us faces. Look at the first one. The race is not to the swift. What's Solomon saying? Solomon is saying the race. We talk about the rat race. What's it? Race. Whether it's a rat race or a goat race or just an athletic race, it spells competitiveness. Right? There's a lot of competition out there. There are 6,000 people applying for 5 seats for some of those professional higher education. Right? You apply for a job and you go for an interview, walk-in or otherwise, and you might find 20 others there. And some people have told me some have already paid off and got the job. The interview is just a farce. It's highly competitive. But you know what God says? The race is not to the swift. Who are the swift? The fast. Hey, that person is really quick. That person really knows how to get there before I did. He pretended to be the tortoise. But he got there first. The race is not to the swift. The hair Ross, right? The race is not to the swift. Not to those who are faster than you. Yes, this is a competitive world. But you know what God says? The race is not. The competition will not be won by the quickest, the grabbers. Second, the battle. What does battle mean? Battle spells struggles, war. battle spells that there has to be a winner. Who's going to lose the battle? The Bible is telling us here the battle is not to the strong. Who are the strong? The healthy, the powerful, the influential. Do you struggle in life? Do you think you're weak, you're not strong? The battle is not to the strong. Number three, bread. Bread. What is bread? Sustenance, nourishment, health. Food is not to the wise. What's wisdom? I told you, wisdom is practical knowledge. Oh, there are people, Dev Chanai, very, very cunning, shrewd. Bread is not to the shrewd. The practical, the intelligent, the degree holders, the ones who God had made. Four, riches. Riches stands for resources, wealth. I just don't have it. Well, riches are not to the intelligent, the brainy, the clever. Number five, favor. What is favor? I wish God would give me favor. Just direct favor or favor in the eyes of my boss, my management. When I go for the job interview, I hope I have favor. Favor, goodwill, blessing, success. It's not to those with knowledge, expertise, education. Verse 10 told us to be achievers, right? Verse 11 humbles us. But it also encourages us. That if we are in God, you know what He has given us, verse 11? God gives each of us two things. Look at verse 11. Time and chance. Did you notice it? Time and chance. What is time? Lifetime. Lifetime. You've got life. You've got a whole lifetime. What has God given you? Time. And what has He given you? Secondly, verse 11. Look at it carefully. Chance. Did you realize verse 10 and verse 11 are complementary? He's saying, what you have, do it with all your might. Be achievers. Take the opportunity and make the most of it. But don't think that you have achieved by your own strength. Because the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong, the bread is not to the wise, the riches are not to the intelligent, favor is not to those with knowledge, but everybody has equal opportunity in your lifetime. Don't you ever say, I never got a chance. That's really an insult to God. He's gifted you with life and opportunity. Everybody has life and everybody has opportunity. Just think about this. And who really succeeds in life? Who achieves the best and comes up in life? Who does? Oh, we think the people born with a golden spoon in their mouth. Have you known people born with a golden spoon who never made it? I have friends. It's being recorded, so I won't mention their names. Not because I don't want you to meet them, but they cry over their children. They say, we have so much wealth. We've got everything. Our child doesn't even want to study. You got it? Of course, there are others who make it. And you think, well, if only I was born to rich parents, or someone who had a big company, I wish I had inherited wealth and power and status. There are those born with a silver spoon in their mouth who fail. There are those who are born with nothing who turn out brilliant. Joan of Arc. Have you heard of her? Joan of Arc. Google search and find out who she was. She was an illiterate peasant girl. Nelson Mandela. How many years was he imprisoned? Do you think when he was in prison he thought he would ever come out and become the first black president of South Africa? Helen Keller, have you heard of her? Helen Keller, blind. Beethoven, terrific musician, deaf. And deafness for a musician is not good, because he has to be able to hear each musical note. Johnny Erickson Tada, crippled from neck down. I've had the privilege of meeting her several times. What a glorious achiever. Open your hymn books and see how many hymns are written by, what's that blind singer's, You know about them? The race is not to the swift. The bread is not to the wise. Riches are not to the intelligent. But the one who says, I have life from God. God gave me life. And this lifetime is God-given. And whatever I have in terms of a brain, a little bit of Pathshala schooling, my school teacher in class 3, Gladys O'Leary, I've never forgotten her because she drilled it into my brain. She's one of 54 children in her class. She told me, you know, the Dhoni son studies under the lamppost every night. And I didn't know what she was saying because I was very poor. But she said the Dhobi son studies under the lamppost. And all you rich parents' sons, I wasn't. But I heard it loud and clear. I finished school, became a school teacher and bishops. And standing shoulder to shoulder with me was my Dhobi son, a school teacher and bishops. You can achieve. You don't have to be born rich. You don't have to be born intelligent. You don't have to be born wise. You just take life and you grab it and you live it for the glory of God. Verse 12. For man does not know his time. You don't know. Look at that verse. You don't know your time. What about that ignorance of the time? Which kind of ignorance? It says, like a fish or a bird caught in a trap of evil. What's going to happen? Something evil is going to hit you. suddenly. Now I'm half dead, finished. From that day onwards you can't do a thing. Why didn't you do it while you didn't have the evil day? You can't predict it. That's what it's saying. It's like a net, it's a snare. It'll come upon you suddenly. You don't know the time. You might suddenly get a stroke, suddenly hemorrhage in your brain, suddenly something. And you look back at life and live with what? A history of, I wish I had done it when I could. Are you listening to the word of God? This verse says, so the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. You cannot predict the evil day. Even if you save for a rainy day, you can only save what? Money. You can't save your life. Isn't this wisdom from God? You cannot know when opportunity will be taken away from you. Jesus said there was the master who gave out talents, right? To one he gave 10 talents. To another he gave 5. To another he gave 1. And then he came back after a period of being away and he said, give me an account of what you did. And the 10-talent man and the 5-talent man had multiplied their talents, right? And the 1-talent man, what did he do? He said, oh, I know you, master. You expect from what you don't even give. So I hid the talent, I didn't want to lose it. I achieved nothing. But see, I kept it intact. You know that story. John chapter 15 verse 8, great verse. What does it say? Verse 8 of John chapter 15. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and your fruit remain. 16, same chapter verse 16. You have not chosen me. The doctrine of election. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Why? That you should bear much fruit. Our Father, we bow in your presence. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us the grace to introspect our lives and see whether we actually take our life given by you seriously. And within that life, Lord, and lifetime, you've given us opportunity to be the best for you. Lord, may none of us live for regret. Lord, help us to live so that when we die, we will leave a heritage of blessing for those who come behind us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.